Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project, we begin a new show. But before we get there, I have a tale to read and share. The tale may not make sense yet, but it certainly will as we progress through our programs. Colchis was the eastern city where the sun rose on the mythic Greek world. Its king, Aithes, whose name means eagle, gave refuge to Phrixus and even welcomed him into his family. Aithes was the son of Ilios, Titan of the Sun. Chrysomalos, also known as Krios, the frying lamb that brought Phrixus safely to Colchis, was sacrificed to Zeus and his pelt hung from a tree in the nearby field of Ares. This pelt, known as the Golden Fleece, became a symbol of divine favor and brought peace and prosperity to the land of Colchis. It was guarded by a dragon. Phrixus and his sister Ellie were fugitives. They fled from Boeotia when their life was placed in peril by Boeotia's new queen. Alas, Ellie lost her life en route to the promised land. Phrixus reached Colchis, was well received, prospered, and brought prosperity to the land that welcomed and sheltered him. And there we will leave the tale and go to Astrid. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. Doing well on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. It has arrived.
Yes, finally. It's been really weird the past few days, like nice and sunny, interspersed with cold and chilly, and sunshine with rain. It's been a little of this, a little of that.
Exactly, which reminds us that things are not constant. They're in constant. They're actually in flux, going back and forth. Life is about change, you know, and we are the ones that can either readjust to it or we make things work for the benefit of all and ourselves as well.
Indeed, and I'm looking forward to what you have prepared today. I'm actually going to recruit you for an adventure later on in the program.
That's fine. I do want to say, start off, and I'm going to end this way too, but start off, because everything is a cycle, saying that mankind is the greatest resource because we can make things go in one direction or go in the other. And I see that there are major hiring signs all over Sussex County, all over. And I noticed that in front of the North Village ShopRite, which is Route 15 Sparta, they are saying that they want the restaurant and bar industry wants resumes. They are hiring, and they want chefs, mixologists, professional servers, front desk, reservation managers. So it's an industry thing. It's not just like Mohawk House. It's a whole area, and you can send or phone your resume, jobs at industrysparta.newjersey.com, 973-875-6464. And I will send that information along. And I noticed while driving around today, you know, doing errands today and yesterday, a lot of different farms are needing hands, people to work during the summer, because the farms up here not only sell to stores, they also work in the area and sell direct to the public. So they need people. I noticed that all the different lakes up here, like Swartzwood, they're looking for lifeguards. So quite a few different places, and I'm sure the best thing to do is just to type in jobs available with a specific talent that you have. If you want lifeguards in Sussex County, type it in, and you'll find tons of jobs because this area is rich with different areas that offer entertainment, place to put your kids, basically, you know, different camps. And there are tons of them up here, and it's a matter of just finding out what's available, what works for you, what talents you have, and people are basically looking for labor, which is so unusual because it was the other way around. It is a labor market now, so you can actually you know, get in touch. Just Google it in, and I'm sure you'll find it. Or get in touch with the commerce, you know, Sussex County Chamber of Commerce, and find out all the businesses. Also, you can advertise your garage or yard sale if you're looking to sell things. The Strauss News Marketplace is perfect. Again, we talked about the different banks up here, the work banks, and that's a great outlet, especially if you have kids. You're thinking what they're going to do for the summer and how about a little bit of income. You don't have to go down the shore for a job. You could work up here in Sussex County in close proximity and not spend your gas. So a lot of options. Labor market.
Yes, there is. There's a lot of opportunity. I'm getting calls and I'm getting emails, and so things are beginning to look up in that area of life.
Right. Things are starting to come back, which is a good thing. And we'll start off just saying we have to honor the elements. It doesn't mean that we only celebrate Earth Day in April. And it's 4/22/22. How about that? It's just like a real interesting little number mix there. And it started back in 1970 on the 22nd of April. Since then, 1 billion people in more than 193 countries have joined hands to do something to honor the earth and to, you know, have it basically be conserved and watch how things are done and be the guardians of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, forget it. And before we even get into all that, you know, because you think about your elements, you know, your fire, your water, your earth, your air, and each one of them has been so abused. And they fought back. I mean, if you look back this past year, more so than the other years, the amount of wildfires, it's amazing.
Yes.
Flooding, which we can identify with. You don't have to go, like, you know, to other areas to see the floods. We have them here in New Jersey as well, in terms of the rain. And the one we just had was pathetic in terms of a lot of people looking for help to look at their roofs or why are there leaks. And when you have water in that capacity coupled with wind, trouble.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to join hands and do things for the benefit of these elements which sustain us. We forget that we are sustained by the elements. We need each one of them. Rather than just take and abuse and use it for the benefit of a few to make profits, we need to give back and we need to nurture our planet and the elements so that it will be there in the future.
Most certainly so. And the United Nations just put out a report, which is very disturbing.
Oh, yeah. No two ways about it. The things that are going on, it's horrific. And they say it, climate change. And how anyone can deny it when you see what's happening all over the planet. It's amazing the effects, not only with the flooding and the rising waters and the possibility of areas going underwater, the areas that are being burned away, the wildfires. It's believable. You know, we definitely have to step up. Antarctica, you know, we're talking about giant slabs of ice that are melting. You know, what will be that effect and how many years is going to take? Too much in terms of short-range goals and not looking towards the future. Too much of take, take, take and not giving back. You know, in any situation, in any relationship, when it's all one way and people start taking advantage of the situation, the relationship doesn't work when one is doing all the taking and takes advantage of the other one. How could you not make that correlation with the elements? I don't know, except that there's just so much greed involved. And we've mentioned that in other podcasts where we've talked about, you know, the amount of money. Well, we're not even talking billionaires anymore. The amount of trillionaires, people that have made so much money by just abusing the land or the air or the water. It's frightening. And just thinking that it's okay to do that, even now we're all experiencing this gasoline issue, fuel industry. And yes, it has to do with the fact that it's a commodity, and Europe is at the mercy of Russia. Therefore, the value, when there isn't enough of it, the value goes up, even if one country has it, and
yeah.
The other ones are at the mercy. And well, it's a commodity. That's how commodities work. And then when you say that, now I know they're trying to bring legislation into Congress about the fact that the Koch brothers and all these people that are involved with fuels, they are making profits in the United States beyond belief. Yes, they cannot release, they can only release so much fuel, and they have to also, you know, get more labor to produce more. But the point is they have reserves. And jacking the rate up in this country, allowing their profit factor to go out of control, basically, they're talking about taxing them on a profit windfall. And I think that's a good idea. Maybe then they'll be more apt to look at things in terms of the whole rather than just themselves.
Maybe that remains to be seen.
Again, you have to change the lobbying laws because they are so influential with the contributions. And the Koch brothers alone, it's frightening how much they control. And it isn't just fuel. They can control, we don't realize how much they're involved with other elements. One being stripping the land of wood, they're involved with textiles. And it's amazing how much of their profit comes not just from fuel, but textiles, you know, and then that's like deforestation. And then, again, with cattle. And once you say, well, you know, you need your beef, yes, but it's the way that the cattle are being raised and the way the lands are being used and the way the process of defecation by the animals, how are they dealing with that and how that just water brings that into waterways. There are so many aspects beyond the profit. And unfortunately, you know, the more this they can profit, they will continue to do it until we become more aware. The consumer becomes aware of how it's affecting them. We're talking pesticides. You know, in order to have a more yield, well, let's increase the pesticides. And I have to say, EWG.org is amazing because, I mean, they're doing a lot with Earth Day celebration. They have new speakers. They have Senator Cory Booker, and they have Michelle Pfeiffer involved. And in 8 days, they're going to have amazing speakers for the Earth Day celebration. And they're looking for real solutions to the PFAS pollution and cleanup, changing our food system to protect the climate, and so much more. And this is a live program. It begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with special remarks by the EWG co-founder and president, Ken Cook. And I think they're going to have the event recorded. And so if you register for it, you can actually connect to it later. And they're talking about protecting your families and the community from toxic pollution from all of these horrible pesticides. Learn from leaders in Washington about the urgent need to address the impact of agriculture on the climate. So that's the pesticides and also the animals and how things are being done in terms of the land, how it affects the land, and sewage, and we forget about runoff, what happens with runoff. They will also have the EWG scientists and experts about the research agenda, what they're doing to tackle the most pressing issues. And the big thing that they're involved with is cleaning up the drinking water, holding the food industry accountable for the impact on climate change. So that's fantastic. So if you really want to listen to this, you just go to EWG at EWG.org and add it to the contact list. And the big thing with them, their mission is to empower people to live healthier lives in a healthier environment. They are nonprofit and nonpartisan. They take no money from anyone. They're amazing. They're located in Washington, and they're amazing. You know, we've talked about EWG in terms of having the Dirty Dozen. They constantly will update you concerning the different pesticides. I mean, they were the first ones to jump on Roundup and how toxic it was. And they were also involved with telling people about the other things in terms of, like, the Teflon. You know, if you have Teflon pans and they are scratched, get rid of it. Yes, it's easy, but here we go. It's that double-edged sword. Comfort and ease versus endangering yourself and the environment. And you have to be aware. Just have to be aware because it's so important. They also had one particular thing on their site about using this chemical, Dactyl, it's called. And that was 30 years ago. The EPA classified it as a pesticide, using it as on leafy greens as a possible carcinogenic material. They noticed problems with increases in liver and thyroid tumors. Despite these findings 30 years ago, they're still using this on leafy greens such as kale, which is one of the healthy things,
really,
olives, and mustard greens. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
60% of kale samples sold in the United States contaminated with Dactyl. And they do have petitions that you can sign up. And that's how they've done so much with petitions, getting the message to the EPA that this is dangerous and its use must be banned. And they want 100,000 signatures by the end of April for the most impacts. And I will send that information to you. They also have a tap, and we've mentioned this before, tap water database. And they have, what they do every year is they test the water. And you can punch in your zip code, tell them the city you live in, you go to the homepage, and you check out the resources and what is in the water. It is amazing. And they have a water filter guide where you could find out the right filter for your home. It talks about the state of drinking water now. And it's amazing, all the studies they have done. You can get a free guide from them, ewg.org/tapwater, talking about the effects of certain chemicals.
What is that?
I'm
looking these up and listing them as you're talking. I missed the for the water.
It is ewg.org/tapwater. Okay.
Oh, it's on the EWG.org site? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go to them. They not only have the Dirty Dozen, which you and I both know, the most dangerous fruits and vegetables according to the pesticides, and all the things that we think that are healthy are loaded, kale being one of them. The top one is strawberries. About 16 different kind of pesticides. Frightening. Frightening. That's why there are certain, it's good to know these things, because if these are the things that are healthy, these are the foods that you should be buying organic. Some things you can get away with not having organic and not being raised on in a situation where they use natural holistic approaches to pesticides. You're using insects and different things. That's something you don't want to fool around. Here you think you're eating healthy, and you're finding out how much you're ingesting. Frightening. Frightening.
It is frightening.
So it is, because if you're not aware of these things. Most people would not want to be ingesting these things, and they wouldn't want to be giving them to their children. Like way back when, like we said in the 50s, it was a matter of people being introduced to all the things to make your life easier, because women were going to work and you have all these plastics, and then we see the effects of plastics, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So, okay. Yeah, we have to be informed, and thank God there are people like EWG that do the research and bring out the facts. The different industries have tried to do so much to stop them. Obviously, the pesticides, even some of the farming associations, because it affects their profits. And it always comes back to that. It comes back to, what are you willing to do now? And
right.
It isn't any thing, because we're talking about fuel and the situation of the fuel prices, and Biden has, the prices are going down because Biden released quite a bit of reserve.
A million
and
gallons
going to start,
or something. Yeah, it was a lot of...
They have to do something, but at the same time, he also is going to roll back the ruling on ethanol. And you say, okay, like, for how long? Because we don't know what's going to happen overseas. So much of this is out of our hands. And I'm not going to get into, you know, what we should do. I know what I think we should do, because in the end, sometimes when you're dealing with someone who is, a megamaniac with power, all he knows is power, and he sees sitting at a conference table as just a way to buy time to build up more power. That's just my belief, and it's not your belief. It doesn't have to be anyone else's. It's just that we have to look back in history. And sometimes, yes, it makes more sense to discuss things before action. But you cannot allow someone to just roll over everybody because he feels that we're just weak. And
I
most
think
of
that
us don't understand.
Their answer to that, because they've been asked, is that
they're
trying to avoid World War III.
They're
taking these steps, and they might have to. And Biden has been speaking very harshly. Referred to Putin as a war criminal and described what he's doing as genocide.
Yes, he has. I'm really proud of him because he has been standing up, and he's calling him for what he is. He's not playing around with words. But the point of it is when someone stands up to him, you notice what happens. He's going to do something else because he's not doing that well. And Ukrainian people are amazing. They are amazing. They all are. The whole Baltic region, most people forget that all of those countries, most of them, were under Russian rule and broke away and became free. I know people that have relatives there. They're all so frightened because they feel they're going to be next, whether they're NATO or not. And it's just where this man's mindset is. And someone like that, now the he's calling in mercenaries because his troops aren't doing it. So now you're seeing some of the toughest mercenaries, Syria, and also the Belarus, the mercenaries are coming in, and you're starting to see very vicious tactics. Not unlike the SS. You're seeing very vicious tactics being executed, and they are war crimes. I can't say how we're going to progress with this, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good, and it's going to take major thought in how to approach this, and people are never going to agree because of the fears, just like World War II. Well, maybe if we look the other way, it's going to go away. Maybe if we take time to listen to reason. If you know anything about psychology and you know anything about the KGB and how they're trained, think again and talk to people that are living there. And yes, you might think, well, they're exaggerating or they're frightened. And this is a very hard decision. I can't say what has to be done, and none of us can, because no matter what you do, there is no good outcome here.
Right.
There isn't any. and it's not going to be an easy thing, and it may go on for years, and they escalate and get worse and worse. We don't know. We don't have a magic wand, or we don't have a crystal ball, and we may end up trying to avoid something which may end up happening anyway. You know, it's sad. This is a sad situation. It is. But going back to the original topic, all of these different countries relied on them because there was a time that, you know, Cold War, nobody really bothered with Russia or China. And then things eased up little by little, and we began to, you know, trust people and opened up different avenues that we never would have considered in the 50s, even the early 60s. And now people are realizing that sometimes you have to be a little more self-sufficient and rely less on others, which we found, and it was exhibited, with our pandemic, where corporations relied so much on that profit factor again, outsourcing, buying cheap from China. And then when the door closed because of the labor situation and the pandemic was so bad, and you couldn't access these things. Meanwhile, you did away with the labor, you did away with the machinery because you didn't want to pay for insurance and you didn't want to pay labor. So you're paying minimal to people and your profits skyrocketed up. And that's what it, you know, is about. And that, as we've mentioned before on our shows, that sometimes you have to realize that it's not always about profit. That under that factor, with the CEOs getting richer and richer, and then I could go back to Bezos with his Amazon, who made so much money because people weren't going out and things were getting mailed. Meanwhile, he was treating his labor like absolute crap. They couldn't even go to the bathroom. Weren't allowed to have a union. Starbucks now has a union in New York. Maybe people will be allowed to have unions and have rights. I know for a fact in quite a few of the Amazons, they're not even allowed to go to the bathroom. They time them.
I heard that, yeah.
It is horrific. The machines they do things based on production. And as I used to say when I was a delegate in the school and a rep, you know, oh, yeah, they're looking at a number and they want you to do this. Machines break down constantly. There is no one that is more reliable than a human being. Because you need human beings to maintain the machines that are being overworked. That's how bad it was getting. And also one of the reasons why so many people were leaving their jobs, because the expectations were insane, absolutely insane in terms of production. So we shall see, because I'm hearing that one of the shops that went to vote for a union and put to Amazon, that they didn't make it the first time, they're actually going to vote again. Why didn't they make it? Because they were being terrorized. Signs in the bathroom, when they went into the bathroom, about why you shouldn't have a union. What are the benefits to not having a union? Emails being sent to them, like brainwashing, terrorizing these people. So they were afraid to ask to vote for rights. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yes, it is. And Amazon has become part of everyone's life. I know it's certainly become part of our life, too, because it's convenient and inexpensive. And during the pandemic, people couldn't go out. So, you know, you have Amazon.
Exactly. And he made even more money, and yet he refuses to pay them or even let them go to the laboratory. I mean, that's out of control. Out of control. You know, it really is. And this also ties into something else, our dependency. You know, upon others because of the fact that, you know, we want life to be easy. And it is nice to have life easier, especially when you see how we live in this country compared to Europe. Anybody that's traveled to Europe knows that the priorities are different. I mean, CEOs are CEOs no matter where they are around the world. But average people will take the time to eat the meal with their family, you know, to make the food, not to have to race all over. I mean, they laugh at us because they're like, God, how could you work that many hours? And it's not even a matter of wanting to. It's the expectations. And with that, I'm going to tie into what's going on out there in space, because we are so used to our power grid and our internet, it is a given. It's a given. Meanwhile, you have one of the most massive geometric magnetic storms going on, the coronal mass ejection from the sun. Huge. And they were already, NASA's already saying, it could knock out the power grid and the internet. Unbelievable. Way back when, I think it was 1859, the telegraph systems around the world failed. The operators couldn't, they were receiving electric shocks. Telegraph paper catching fire. They were unable, they had to operate it with batteries disconnected. Why? All because of the Carrington event. It was a massive geomagnetic storm. And that happens when a huge bubble of superheated gas called plasma is ejected from the surface of the sun and hits Earth. And that is called the coronal mass ejection. And what happens is, you know, it's so scientific, but what happens is it consists of a cloud of protons and electrons. They're electrically charged particles. When they reach the Earth, they interact with the magnetic field that surrounds the planet. That causes it to distort and weaken. And then you start to have all of these different crazy things that we don't expect. But engineers have said that specialize in the power grid say, geomagnetic storms threaten to cause power and internet outages. And how do you protect against it? Well, that should be interesting considering that it was ejected, I think it was yesterday, and it takes several days to come to Earth. And supposedly that this intensity would affect a lot more now than the telegraph wires of back then. And we depend so much on electricity and technology. And think about how many transactions and the risk to life dependent on electrical systems. It's amazing because we just take it for granted. So we shall see if there's going to be breakages in connections on a worldwide scale. Certain areas, will it be internet? What about ground to air, shortwave and ship to shore radio, satellite TV, who knows? Radio and television, we shall see, but it's major solar activity. So we shall see what happens. But, and it's funny how it's happening all around tax time. So this should be, how much of an effect it has on us, we'll see. And it depends,
we shall
see, where it settles. Yeah, but it's something to think about.
It is something to think about. And I stopped, I have a Kindle and I have a lot of books on the Kindle, but I no longer rely on the Kindle because when the Kindle first came out, I started selling a lot of my hard books, you know.
Right.
And I got rid of a lot of books and I had them on the Kindle. And many of them I got them for free, you know, because a lot of the stuff for the Kindle is for free if you're an Amazon Prime customer. And then what happened is something happened to my Kindle. And all of a sudden I had no access to all those books. And then I fixed that. And then something else happened to my Kindle. And I couldn't get into my account at all. So something happened to the books. It took a while to get that straightened out. So after the first time, it's like, you know what? You know, this is convenient. It's great. You can read it from your computer or from that little device. But I'm not getting rid of my old books. I'm keeping them. Because if anything happens to the internet.
Exactly. Exactly.
Why should I not have these things? So I held on to them.
Right. And again, you know, it's a matter of just being aware that these things can happen. I think I remember saying something about our one school system they worked in. It's a major urban area, and it's amazing. Everything is internet-based. People, you know, to save money, what they're doing is, you know, the kids can have iPads. You don't have to have no hand documents anymore, no books. And what happens, even with all the testing that goes on, what happens in a state of New Jersey when everybody is testing on the same day? How in the world can all of that output be happening simultaneously? Well, what happens is in schools, they couldn't get on. Or they would get kicked off, and now you're supposed to be doing a major test for the state. So there were a lot of factors that are not being considered. Grids going down. What about hospitals? What about machinery for people in terms of keeping them alive? You know, what happens? So this should be interesting, not just for now, because maybe we'll escape with minimal, but it's something to think about. Don't tell me that I'm going to have a car that's going to drive by itself. It's powered by the internet, you know, in terms of having a smartphone and a smart car. I don't think I want to rely, have my life, you know, in the hands of something that can malfunction. And I would always laugh when I hear people say, oh, no, you know, it won't happen. No. You have major scams going on that are taking down, that are getting into hospitals, private records, banking, government offices. So don't say it can't happen. And so my take on this is that people should have things backed up. Anything important, just have a paper document. You have contacts on the phone, and what happens, sometimes you lose them all. There is nothing wrong with having a document. In our one school system that happened, we had a great administrator. She had backup. The whole system went down, and every school lost all of the grades, all the records, except for ours, because she was smart enough and said, what if?
What if? Yeah.
Don't always be dependent on others. Well, they'll take care of us. Just as you and I have always said, don't be dependent on the doctor. Get the blood work results. Do your research. You know, do your research. That's your best bet. Be proactive. And now we're seeing in New Jersey, we're going to have the strictest laws in terms of carry-out bag bans in the nation. May 4th, following through in a law by Governor Murphy. And some people are like, well, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to do what they do all over Europe. They don't use these bags. They shop a little more because, you know, they don't use tons of preservatives like we do to have a long shelf life. And what they do is they shop more often. They buy less. They don't feel that they have to have tons of stuff in the house. And when you're buying organic anyway, you shouldn't be buying that much ahead of time. But there are some exceptions. You'll still be able to get a plastic bag when you select your fruits and vegetables, loose nuts, coffee and baked goods, or order your store sliced deli items. So this should be interesting. But this is interesting. Well, you know, it's time. It's time when you think of what plastics have done. Why? There is also not just plastic, but a paper bag ban. And why did that happen? Because I know when I go to my Trader Joe's, I love their paper bags. They have handles and they're strong and they're recycled. Well, the paper bag ban was pushed by the New Jersey Food Council, which is the supermarket lobby. Why? Because they said paper bags cost too much money and took up too much space than plastic. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So it's not just the plastic, which we know is horrible, detrimental to the environment, but even the paper goods, which are made from recycled, you're not going to have. And you can blame supermarket industry for that because they didn't want to pay for paper, and it takes more room. Interesting. What came first? Plastic straws were the first thing that happened with New Jersey's Plastic Ban Act. And I know some people really don't like the paper, but the amount of straws that are given out in the coffee shops, the restaurants, the convenience stores, and other businesses that sell food.
And arts and crafts, kids
it's amazing the quantity.
Scotch tape, and you know, you could keep a bunch of kids amused for pennies if you're doing activities.
Right. Yes. So that was the first thing. And I know a few people said that they don't like the paper. Well, you know, what's better in the long run. What makes your life wonderful and happy? The paper straws are functional, but they get soggy. Well, you know, how long are you going to keep the straw in there? Well, maybe you don't need a straw at all. Think of how much plastic goes in there, the pollution. The new regulation is federal measures that will be, imposed upon us. It's not only bags, it's also disposable plastic products. So you have those carry-out plastic bags that can only be done minimally. Polystyrene cups, plates, those takeout cartons and other food containers made of the material called styrofoam. So yeah. That's interesting, huh? Because it's very toxic, styrofoam. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. So we shall see what happens, because all of these plastics have inundated the beaches, the riverfronts, the water supplies. It is amazing. So we shall see what happens now. And how bad is it? More than 80% of the litter picked up at annual beach cleanups from Cape May to Sandy Hook from volunteers of the Clean Ocean Action have been plastic.
Wow.
Listen to this one. 166 million pieces of microscopic plastic are floating in the waterways of New Jersey and New York. They found microplastics in some of the most pristine rivers and creeks. Wow.
And in our blood, too, as well. I read
that's the next thing. Yes. Yes. So you will have the dry cleaning and garment bags. You will have bags carrying papers, whatever, carrying prescription drugs. Those little flimsy bags that they have in the newspapers, paper bags,
Yeah. That's
still going to be there. Again, food that's sliced or prepared to order, like soup foods and cold cuts. Bags sold to contain live animals, such as fish. Put them in a paper cup or something, please. And then, like I said, the loose items and uncooked meats. Stores will carry bags you can purchase, not plastic, but made out of a product, like Home Goods has those really great bags for 99
uh-huh.
cents. And you pick them up. I'm just loading them up in my car because they're great. And guess what? They're stronger and they carry more than those horrific little plastic bags. Things roll all over your driveway,
I'm losing you at the beginning of sentences a little bit.
Okay, I got here. How is this? Am I better now?
Much better, yes.
All right, then this is the position I have to stay in for the remainder. And now talk a little bit about the microplastics in the blood. You brought it up. I would like you to talk about it.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
You just brought it up. Okay.
Brought it up. You're more up on things than I am, and I rely on you for a lot of the information that I get. And when you finish on the microplastics, I do want to recruit you for a specific project so we can take action against the water because...
Definitely.
The elements are very important, and my last big hurrah is going to be doing stuff on that level. So I'm in my 60s now, and it's time for me to do the things that remain that I wanted to do, and that is something I wanted to do my whole life. I have done in little ways, but now it's time to do it in a big way.
Oh, I hear you. Okay, so huge amounts of plastic waste, as we know, are dumped in the environment. And microplastics, as they break down, they now contaminate the entire planet everywhere. The summit of Mount Everest, I don't know how it got there. People were already known to consume tiny particles via food and water, as well as in breathing them. They have also been found in the feces of babies, never mind just adults. So scientists did a study. and they analyzed blood samples from donors. And they found plastic particles in 17 of 22 people. Half of the samples contained PET plastic, which is used in drinking bottles, while a third contained polystyrene, used for packaging food and other products. From which plastic carrier bags are made. So now this study is the first indication that we have polymer particles in our blood. And this is from an exotoxicologist in Amsterdam. They've studied all over Europe.
That's something to really take pause with, in the blood of babies as well. Everything is plastic. Yes. I mean, we drink from plastic cups. We eat off of paper plates. Our beverages come in plastic. Our food is wrapped in plastic. So it's not surprising, but it is tragic. They found microplastics in wildlife, too, in the most remote places on Earth. So we've
mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So it's being carried all throughout because, you know, it's everywhere. And they are there and they're transported throughout the whole body. So they said that there were the previous work shown that microplastics were 10 times higher in the feces of babies compared with adults. And babies fed with plastic bottles are swallowing millions of microplastic particles a day. That is frightening. And babies and young children are more vulnerable to chemical and particle exposure. That's frightening. And this is new research is being published in the journal Environmental International. And when you think that this is in Europe, these studies, and Europe is a lot more conscious than we are in terms of plastic, we need to stop and think about what we do, why we do it, and we need to make changes. Now, the thing is, what is happening in our body? Are they transported to organs? Are they getting past the blood-brain barrier? How high are the levels? Where are they higher, you know, in some areas? And that's why, you know, they're starting in Europe particularly to really cut down on plastic pollution because they're so concerned about what's going on within the body. The EU is already funding research on the impact of microplastics on fetuses and babies and on the immune system. And they said that the microplastics can actually latch on to the outer membranes of red blood cells and limit their ability to transport oxygen. That's scary. They know they're going into the hearts, brains, and organs.
Yeah.
Of fetuses. So just imagine us that we've been doing it for how long. So now that we do more detailed research on how these micro and nanoplastics affect the structures and processes of the human body, how they can transform cells and induce carcinogenesis, and you know, they'll be doing a lot of different things related to this. You know, the UK is really up there with researching this, just as they were ahead of other countries when it came to the rising levels of water, because they, more than most countries, have to worry about it. And they've been working on it for years with the canals and doing different things with water. So we shall see. But they're saying that microplastics may be linked to IBS. So here we go. You know, there's a lot of different things that they're looking at. That was frightening because who would have thought?
Yes, who would have thought?
I think
you told me in one of our old shows that the plastics were originally a panacea they were introduced to help keep the environment cleaner getting rid of a lot of garbage that was filling landfills because the plastic could be reused and recycled and so forth.
Sure.
But I know now that a lot of the places like China who were buying plastic for recycling are no longer doing so. So a lot of the thing is not being recycled, even though local communities still have recycling laws, the plastics still wind up in landfills. So a lot of people were very angry about that, I remember, when I had the time to attend local meetings.
Sure, because, you know, just because something is law and it's documented does not mean that it's happening.
So
that
what,
we know.
What do you say in terms of the water? Because right now I'm going to recruit you for this. I have a group on Facebook called Mythic Atlantis, and it has like 427 members, but it's a public group, so anybody can come and visit. So I'm sure I get a lot more people visiting the site. So although I'm sharing my love for mythology and popular culture, I also put in information about the seas and so forth. And I asked people in the group how would they like to have a purpose where we fight for the world of water in Poseidon's realm. So people overwhelmingly, one person said they need to think about it, but overwhelmingly people said that they would like that. So I'm thinking of making the group environmentally focused in addition to the mythology and the folklore and so forth.
Sure.
I'm looking at the various sites and I've been posting them. And right now we're at the point where we're just looking at different things to see which of these initiatives we should promote, which one gives us the best and most reliable information. You've done that research already, and you've shared a lot of these things over the years as well. So if you can prepare like a report with links, we can investigate them all, and then we'll settle on like two or three, one local, one national, and then one global, and this way we're covered.
The other thing, too, is looking at the Earth. Remember, we've talked about all these massive toxic sites.
Yes.
And we need to find out what they're doing with them. And if people remember, we talked about Vernon quite often here, and they were so worried about that man, because a lot of different people, and they're not supposed to, but they get away with it. And again, it depends on how closely they're tied to the local politicians. Or the other thing, too, is laws. Make sure the laws are strict enough and that they get penalized. But that one character in Vernon who was having tons of trucks at night coming along, and this is a residential area, and these people are having these dump trucks going around, and they were worried about their soil because they have wells. Now, you start dumping and creating a little dump in your area, and the dirt is, you know, it's contaminated, and he's getting paid for this. Well, he has been fined. He has not paid fine. He was jailed. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But finally, because people reached out, and thank God, we have Josh Gottheimer, because nothing happened before that. They reached out. And so it's a matter of also contacting representatives and your senators and saying, well, this bill or that bill, and what about, you know, really getting on their case and signing petitions with people like EWG, COS, the Politico, and of course Greenpeace, who is very, very, you know, adamant about protecting our environment. There are so many now, Sierra Club, there's so many that are fighting, and I know, like, EWG is wonderful. You go to their page and they'll say, well, if you can't donate, fine. That's all right. There's some that will ask you for money, but guess what? Just submit the petition and you just don't add the money because everybody's in a tough situation. And you make your decision. You can't be supplying money to everybody. You know, you find one or two causes that are important in your life, and those are the ones that you support. Because how much can you support, you know? It's ridiculous. People having a hard enough time surviving with the food situation and this and that and gas. But you find something you believe in that strongly. There is another area, I think it's Environ, that people have been fighting about the toxicity of the land because all the different places that were allowed to dump and get away with it. And now this land was tested, and yes, again, they have wells. They're saying, yeah, the levels are a little too high. Well, let's see how long it takes for them to do something. But first, it's about communicating the issue. And I remember way back when, you know, a particular politician at one of these functions I have had to attend as a delegate saying, well, if I don't get the message that this matters to worry about, they will – your constituency, the voters, what they contact them about in terms of quantity, that's the thing that's going to get their attention, because there's so much going on and it gets very tedious, as hard as it is for us to understand, but you're sitting and listening to people going back and forth bantering about this, what, how important it is for a law or for this or that, and people will take their own self-interests if they are being, you know, like you look at Manchin, who gets so much money from the coal industry in West Virginia. He may be a Democrat, but he's fear-based, and he will vote anything down that's put before him that will be environmental. Well, then it's up to people to write, because you can also write. Daily Kos will say, well, you write and just send your, you know, send your postcards to the Democrats in that area when they're voting and say, what about this, what about that? And express your views, and please vote one way or the other, vote, because you have to show up and you have to take part in petitions and you have to first be informed. You know, you can't leave it for someone else, because saying that someone else is going to do it is not going to get the job done.
Right.
It's not. We have to all pull together.
And that leads me to the second thing I'm going to recruit you for. I get a lot of mail, and sometimes I can't even read it all for a while, as you know. But I flag certain things, you know, and I try to keep more up on those things than other things. And
sure.
Like your mail, I try to keep up with your mail because it contains such a richness. I know some of the organizations have calendars, and when I recently interviewed someone,
yes.
I asked if his organization the calendar, where they tell you what legislation is coming up and why it's important to call your politicians and let them know,
yes,
a yes or no. Is there for the environment or for water specifically? Because I want to start with water and then address earth, air, and fire.
Sure. Well, there's certain groups that will...
Like this Clean Water Action. I know that
Clean Water. Yeah, there's a couple of them I think I sent them to you that are amazing. They concentrate only on that. Yes.
Right. And also this is what I'm doing with the Rotary. With the Rotary, I'm trying to create a virtual Rotary Club so that anybody can be involved. And at this level, you don't have to be in the Rotary. Anybody who wants to can join it. It's on Facebook. It'll soon be on Zoom. And it's anybody who's interested. And we're looking right now at the things that the Rotary covers throughout the world to try to find something to organize global action. And, you know, based on Rotary principles, which are, you know, very beneficent and very, you know, friendly to life and humane humanity. So right now we're doing a voyage to look at their calendar and the things that they cover. And by next year, I hope to have the number of people I need to become Rotarians to open it up as a global club. So I'm working on that now. We have 90 seconds. The time flew back. Thank you so much. You're awesome, as always. I love talking to you. I love communicating with you. And I'm looking forward to connecting again in the very near future.
Most definitely. And again, I'm going to end how I started, that it is the human resource that makes the difference. With all of these issues that we talk about, it is the human resource. Because nothing can happen, positive or negative, without people interacting and linking arms and saying, you know, like, no, enough of this, enough of that,
You cut out again, Astrid. I lost you. Thank you so very much. I'll give you a call this weekend. Happy
Most
holidays.
Definitely.
Celebrate on Sunday. And
yes. Renewal and rebirth, and that's what we think about. And we can do it. We can make it happen.
Indeed we can. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, everybody. And again, thank you, Astrid. You're awesome.
Thank you, and thanks to our listeners.